Hello, everyone. This is Chuck Whetstone. Thank you for listening today to Chuck's Favorite Things, inspiration and motivation from music, movies, memories, and more. Happy Veterans Day to all our veterans who have served and are serving our country. Thank you so much for keeping us safe and doing what needs to be done. We appreciate it. Today's story is part three of an interview with a World War II POW, which is my dad. And I'm sharing this all week with you on a special Veterans Week podcast. I hope you enjoy it. I've enjoyed hearing his voice and sharing these stories with you. And it's a whole lot more to go, I promise you. He recorded hour and a half, 2 hours of interview with Carl Brown of the University of Memphis back in 2006. And so today's, if you go to my blog page, chucksfavoritethings.com, you'll see some of the photographs. And I was able to find, yesterday as I was researching this, I finally have found a photograph of the B-17 that my dad flew in. And the interesting thing is that this is a B-17 that belly landed at Thurley in England at the air base on November 17th, 1943. It was repaired, and then this fortress was taken over by Second Lieutenant Richard Wong and his crew, which my dad was part of after he got out of the hospital from his injuries of riding the bicycle in England. And this was the mission that they went down on. It was a mission to Wilhelmshaven on February 3rd, 1944. The notice I have here says three crew members were killed in action, seven were made POWs, and my dad was fortunate to be one of the POWs and one who survived the whole thing. So I've never seen a crew photo of the guys. I'd love to see one, but I guess they didn't have time to do everything over there during the war. They were fighting a war, you know. In this story, Dad talks about one of the compounds he's in for at least 9 months, and I think that was Stalag Luft 6. And again, this is where they kept the Air Force guys. This podcast covers my dad. They call him Charlie. Sometimes they call him Lloyd. But it talks about his friend George Walker, who tried to escape with some others and who was shot by the guards. And Dad also discusses being a pallbearer and also helping to bury Mr. Walker out in the cemetery. It's an interesting story. You'll need to listen to that. And sometimes Dad jumps ahead in his story. He talks about when he was rescued, when he was 110 pounds in the hospital in France, and how some of the men around him were not doing good eating and getting their strength back, and they were overeating, and it caused them to die. It really did. And my dad shared his secret about being able to eat steak and whatever they put in front of him. He gained about a pound a day, he said, which is incredible. But he learned a secret, and he'll share that with you on this podcast. Also, he talks about the efforts of the underground and using the Red Cross and, of course, all the means that they had. But interesting story about baseballs and volleyballs. You'll need to listen to this podcast today. We are brought to you today by Plexus Worldwide. I am an independent Plexus ambassador. My efforts with Plexus help fund this podcast and this blog. So I appreciate you going to PlexusChuck.com, checking out our products. And if you'd like to become an ambassador like I am and go into business for yourself, I'll be able to help you all along the way. Just contact me or, you know, just go there, PlexusChuck.com. You can sign up today. We also have free shipping all month in November. Chuck Whetstone is signing out. Thank you for listening today. And here's my dad talking about his story.
So I've got later on in my story about what happened. And we took this train ride, and it lasted about 2 days. And everywhere we went, we had to worry about somebody strafing us, our own men.
Sure.
So we finally got up there, and it was so cold. I'm glad we didn't have a thermometer.
This is in Estonia or East Prussia?
Well, they called it East Prussia then, but it's back to Estonia now. Mm-hmm. We went into this practically new camp. Right across from us was the British. They'd been there since the day the war started. Mm. They shot them down. They didn't even know there's a war going on, I don't think. But anyway, they...
Probably pre-Dunkirk. Yeah.
Yeah. They were over there, and they had to put sharp cookies. Then we moved into barracks F2. Each barracks had 50 people in it. Mm-hmm. They would move the schedule around and all, and it's pretty nice barracks because it's made out of brick. Mm-hmm. Had a big fireplace in there. I mean, it nearly across the room. It's pretty big. Mm-hmm. Then they quit giving us coal to burn. Well, that gets old.
Yeah.
So we had to come out for roll call every morning, appel, they call it. Mm-hmm. And they'd count irons, wire, dry, fear, folk, zeg, z, malk, nine, zine. Then they'd make a mistake. Back again. And some of those guys, they'd just move positions out. Mm-hmm. And it'd really keep them messed up. Then you don't want to go too far. They can kill in a minute. So after I was there a while, they had what you call a warning wire around the thing where you can't get too close to the fence. Mm-hmm. And I accidentally put my hand on the warning wire, a little over waist high. Mm-hmm. And you just naturally want to lean on it. Well, the next thing I heard was a bullet singing down towards me. The guy up in the guard tower took a shot at me. Mm-hmm. They didn't see me no more for a while.
Was his intent to scare you off, or do you think he was aiming and just happened to miss?
He was probably aiming.
Yeah.
Because they don't care, but...
Well, when they withheld the coal, was that something they did because they were running short?
Yeah.
And it's easier to withhold yours so they can have it than...
Yeah, and the food situation is rough. Mm-hmm. I weighed 110 when I got out.
What did you weigh before you were captured?
140. But in the end, when we went into Camp Lucky Strike in France, I stayed a month. Mm-hmm. And some of the men were dying from stomach cramps. And I asked the guy, I said, what in the world would I take to make me digest these food? He said, go and get a bottle of Paragard. I went over there and they gave me a bottle of Paragard. And every time I would eat, I eat four times a day. Mm-hmm. Steaks and whatever they had. I mean, just plenty of it. And I did pretty well. Mm-hmm. You're not going to believe this, but I gained a pound a day. But I had plenty to eat. Mm-hmm. And I took that Paragard every time I ate. Looked like I'd kill you, you know. Yeah. But it didn't.
So you were in Estonia, in the prison there. How long were you in that prison camp?
Oh, until the Russians started coming in too close to us. About, I believe, 9 months.
Okay. Was there any kind of command structure as far as the Allied prisoners was concerned? I mean, was there anyone sort of in charge for the prisoners of telling what to do and how did that go?
That went all right.
I mean, was it American or British, or did you each have your own? Or?
Well, we got along all right, but of course, since they've been there the longest, they figured they'd get the bigger portion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you tell about the march?
No, I hadn't got that far yet. A guy on that particular crew I was on, mm-hmm. he wanted to go home. So he and another guy planned to escape. They rigged out a way that whenever they'd carry their dirty clothes over to be washed, that they had a little man in that clothes wash. You couldn't tell. I think it's four men. Mm-hmm. Go out there and do that job, bring it back. Well, After these two slipped out, getting in this what we call the forelogger, after they got out, this little guy, he'd come up and get out there and do what the rest of them was doing. See? So they had five, mm-hmm. and this four of them come back. Now, wait a minute. One. They got the two that's trying to escape, and they had it covered up somehow, but to make that transit. Mm-hmm. And they had to stay out there all day and be quiet as a mouse and right close to the fence. And they had money stashed in the fly of your pants. Mm-hmm. One of my friend, he was the top turret gunner, and he was the mechanic. And I said he had wanted to go home, mm-hmm. but it's a big risk to do that.
Sure.
So when it got night, they started easing over. They're going to go over the fence, cut the wire, and get on out that way. Mm-hmm. Well, they were discovered. Mm-hmm. And boy, they come out quick. Walker, my friend, that's the one that's a top turret gunner, he had on an Eisenhower jacket, mm-hmm. and he's a big man, so when he'd raise his hand, see, it would come on up like sure. this, and one of those German guards shot him in the heart. Mm-hmm. His name was Walker, mm-hmm. from South Carolina. They said, well, you can't have a coffin, because you violated our rules. So some of our men didn't have flags put on, you know. Mm-hmm. So what they did was they took this Crosac, painted on there the Stars and Stripes. This big toe sack.
Sure.
Well, they wasn't going to give him no box for burial. Mm-hmm. If somebody hadn't been bad to them, they'll maybe give you a coffin. They wanted me to go out there and be a pallbearer. Well, that's all right, but then they said you had to agree that you wasn't going to escape. I was out in that cemetery right there close to it. And one of the first ones to be buried there. Mm-hmm. So somebody told me, it says, see if there's any money on him. I said, I got to go down that grave? Yep. Well, it wasn't very deep. Mm-hmm. So what they did is, while they were engaging the guards talking around them and getting their attention drifted away from them, I went down in there and found out he didn't have no money. They'd mm-hmm. already found it.
Yeah.
He was wrapped in that flag, no coffin. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't stand to see us throwing dirt in there on him with nothing.
Sure.
So I found some twigs out there on the ground and put over his face.
Exactly.
Then that other part was the flag was wrapped around him pretty good. Mm-hmm. Now, his grave hasn't been found yet. Hmm. But it's three of my friends that were buried out there. Mm-hmm. One of the men thought they had unlocked the barracks or something, and over there in the summertime, you've got the summer nearly 24 hours a day. So it's light. Mm-hmm. And so he had to go to the restroom, and the restroom was away from the house, from the barracks. So he opened that door and went out there and started walking towards it, and they cut him in two with a rifle. Hmm. He didn't live, he lived 2 days and then died. So there was another one there, can't remember the name right now, that was buried out there. Then another one of my friends lost his mind while we were on a ship fleeing that part of the country, because we were in Danzig, and we took this ship, and everybody's throwed in a hole, you might not throw, but put in there, a lot of people. This man was up on top of the deck, and he absolutely lost his mind, and he didn't want on that ship, and he didn't want this, he didn't want that, and he jumped out in the big water area around the Baltic. He jumped off of that ship. Now, what they did was they circled the boat. We didn't see it because we were down below. They didn't try to have him. They were just shooting at him till they killed him. I think that's because he lost his mind. So that's three I knew I'd get. Now, we didn't have all that many people up there, maybe 4,000. A funny thing that happened was two. One of them was the Red Cross had sent us some baseballs and all kind of play toys. And sometime before, they had reached the underground or something, our bunch. And you can do it. Says, we need radio parts, we need this, we need that, and all that, and all that. Never heard no more from them. So finally they got back word to Washington. You didn't send us those parts. Said, yes, we did. Well, I hadn't seen them. Says, send those toys. I said, we had been beating that ball. And they never did tell us, never. They quiet mouth. They had sent us all that stuff. So the barracks leader called it in right quick. Never said nothing about it. But he opened those things and got those parts out. I don't know whether it's any good or not.
Thank you for listening today to Chuck's Favorite Things. And part four of this interview with my dad will be tomorrow. And thank you so much for listening and being supportive of my podcast and enjoying my dad's story of his World War II experience. And we will be back tomorrow. Chuck's Favorite Things, inspiration, motivation from music, movies, memories, and more. This is a special veterans podcast and blog all week. Until tomorrow, Chuck Whetstone signing out. Bye-bye.